Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to have you in here this evening. And I see we have two of our regulars in here. And it's good to have them here with me this evening. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we are in need of the Holy Spirit to come forward, Father, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive unto your word, to give us knowledge and a deeper revelation, Father, of the truth and the meaning of the word, Father, so that we can walk stronger in faith, closer in friendship and fellowship. And Father, help us now through this study. Be with us. Keep us on that pathway to righteousness. Never let us stray or fall. I ask this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. As you know, we're going to be in the third chapter of 1 Samuel. Now, Samuel's still growing. He hasn't reached quite his maturity yet, or hadn't to this point. Now here in 3, verse 1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Verse 2. "And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see." He's having trouble with his eyes. He is getting along in years now, Eli is. Do you know, when we really get in and go looking, here in this first verse, we're seeing the sovereignty of Israel apostolic, and the way it had been going, it had caused a drought of God's revelation to Israel in that kind of work. And you know, the condition was actually perpetuating and self-defeating. But by God's grace, the prophetic instruction would receive renewed standardization in the person and the work of Samuel. Now, he is still going through his education that he's receiving from God. He still really has not got on working as the Lord will have him working. Pardon me. But he is learning, which we all must do. I don't know what's going around today, but it's causing me to sneeze. Anyway, now, here in verse 3, says, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Now, you see, when God wants you, when he's really got something for you, he's not going to quit until he gets a hold of you and let you know what he has got and what he is wanting of you and from you. Here in verse 4, we know Samuel had laid down and was asleep in 3. Now here in 4, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran into Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not. Lie down again. And he went and laid down. He thought Eli was calling him. At this time, he still doesn't really know the Lord's voice and how he would contact. But anyway, Eli told him, I didn't call you, go lay down. 6. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not. My son, lie down again. So he sent him again to lay down. Now here in 7. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. You see, he didn't know the Lord, and the word had never been revealed unto him. This is what the Lord is going to do. but 8. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samson, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. He's doing what he was told to do. But the Lord has already called him now 3 times. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In other words, some things going on the Lord is not happy about. And he's telling Samuel he's going to do something there in Israel that's going to tingle their ears. Now, he says, In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. We know that Eli's sons worshiped a false god. They had a false religion, even a false of worship, altar and all set up. But it was not for Almighty God. It was for the false god. And Eli had keep letting them get away with it. And God had warned Eli, if you remember back as we first began, about the sons. Now, you're 13. He says, For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restraineth them not. In other words, he didn't correct them, he didn't restrain them, he let them go on doing this thing that they should not have been doing with the false god and false way of living. 14. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. In other words, his house cannot be cleansed by making sacrifices and offerings that they all did in that day and time to be forgiven. It's not going to work now for Eli. 15. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. He's afraid now. He has seen this vision that God gave him and heard what God said about Eli and his place. Now, 16. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. 17. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. In other words, he's wishing some bad things to Samuel if he was to keep anything from him. Now, 18. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth. Let him do what seemeth good, seemeth him good. In other words, he's going to do what he's going to do. Let him do that. Now, 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. In other words, the words that Samuel was using and all was words meant to be used from God. And we need more of that today. We don't need to be telling jokes, jesting. We don't need to be gossiping and cursing and making promises that we know we're not going to keep, saying things that we know really is not the will of God. That's why we need the study of God's Word daily, and we need to be spending time with Him in prayer daily, so that He then can also talk to you and I to keep us on the road in which He wants us to walk, because He has a work for every one of us. Now we have to find out what that work is. But if we will continue in His Word, and we will continue spending time with Him, He will let you know. And He has a use for every one of us, for every child. Now, 20. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. He's to be a prophet. This is the first time in our study that his work is mentioned. 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. We have now come to the end of chapter 3. Now, a lot of these chapters are not really short. Now, chapter 4 is 22 verses long, but we're going to go ahead and get started in and see what God has for us here. Now, we just finished, like I say, with 3, and the Lord has revealed himself to Samuel here in Shiloh. Now here in verse 1 of chapter 4, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Ephek. Some names. Ephek. A-P-H-E-K. Ephek. Verse 2. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. 4,000 now men had been killed. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistine? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Now they're wanting to move the Ark of the Covenant, which is the main ark, because that's the one that God told Moses to build. And just how to build it, what to put in it, and all. Now, 4. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubim and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, which there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. 5. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. Now, that's a pretty good shout. 6. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. Now, they understood where that the ark had come into the camp and all. Now here in 7, and the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there has not been such a thing heretofore. But they knew from past time when God brought the children of Israel to the land, how he had went before them to drive out the inhabitants that was there, because they were all those that worshiped other gods. They did not worship our God. They worshiped idols, all kinds of false gods. They had all kinds of them. They knew how things had went that way. Now they're afraid, because they know the covenant is now within the camp. Verse 8. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. Now, they're trying to rouse them up to get them to fight, because they know they've been afraid. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a great, very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. 11. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain, both of Eli's sons now, that was worshiping all these other gods. They have been killed now in battle. All right. 12. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. Now he's got his clothes rent and earth on his head. 13. And when he came low, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. 14. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, meaneth the noise of this turmoil. And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old. Here he is, 98 years old. And his eyes were dim, that he could not see. 16. The man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? Ask him the question now. 17. And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there has been also a great slaughter, among the people, and thy two sons also are dead, and the ark of God is taken. The ark of God is taken. Now, it's not saying here how they took it or who is taking it. Then it's taken. In other words, they're figuring that Philistines took it. But yet, when it's sitting in synagogues, no one but that the head priest, the high priest, was allowed to touch it. And if they did, they were dead. Anyway, we're talking about it's being taken. 18. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died of a broken neck from falling backwards, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. He had been their judge 40 years. 19. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. When she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. 21. And she named the child, Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." She's dead also now. Her son is living, and they named him Ichabod. Now that name Ichabod means, "Where is the glory?" That's the meaning of the name they gave that child. Think about that. We have now come to the end of chapter 4. And we're going to stop here. We're not going to get into 5. 5 is not a real long one. Yeah, let's go ahead with it. There's only 12 verses. And we need all the word that we can get. I know a lot of you don't like taking time like this for the Word of God, but it's exactly what we need. Now, chapter 5, verse 1. Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Now this Dagon. You see? Where it's actually one of their gods. And they're setting the Ark of the Covenant back. This false god of theirs. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord, and they took Dagon and set him in his place again. He fell over in front of the ark, this false god. Now, they set him back up again. 4. When they rose early the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. That's what happened to him. They thought they were being cute, smart, placing the Ark of the Covenant thereby. But you see, God said, no, this is not going to work. 5. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon, nor any that came into Dagon's house, tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. I'm not going to have anything to do with him. Now, 6. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emrods, even Ashdod and the coasts thereof. 7. When the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon, our God. Now they're wanting rid of it. They sat therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. 9. They're moving it now again. They're afraid of it. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emeralds in their secret parts. Uh-oh. Now, everywhere they taking it and what they doing with it, you see, God's letting them know where that belongs. 10. Therefore, they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us to slay us and our people. They're afraid because they brought it to them. They're not wanting it. 11. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of God of Israel and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God is very heavy there. And the last verse of chapter 5. And the men that died not, were smitten with the emeralds, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Did you see? When we don't obey the ways and the things of Almighty God, there is a price to pay. We know what our price is. We know what to do about it. And we also know that we are to be at work for him, sharing the word and his will and his way with others to bring them in to join his church. And as we talk to others, let them know. Don't just pick any church because it may be close. But make sure that it is teaching the truth of God's word. And you can make sure of that by giving them a few questions and answers so that they will know whether it is teaching the right thing or not. And we'll be getting into that as we get into the Gospels tomorrow. So I'm not going there now. There are ways of knowing those that are true and those that are not. Now, we can't keep mankind from making his own choice. We can only share the word of God with them, and we do it with love. We don't do it by trying to force them into accepting it even. Our work is to share it with them with love. And then let that work between them and Almighty God. Because you see, we can't give the increase. Only he can do that. We can't. Now, there are things that we can do, yes. There's 9 gifts. We've been through them once, and we'll be going through them again. I'm not going to do it right now, because it hasn't been very long that we have, that we went through them. But they are. They're for the church. And they are things that actually is supposed to be in all the churches of the saints. When we say all the churches of the saints, we're talking about the Lord's church. It doesn't matter about the name over the door or out in the yard. What matters is what is inside. Is he really there? Is his work and his word really being taught there? Or is it man's way that he has made tickling ears to draw a crowd in? Because there is so much going on today that is after money. Granted, there are times and places and all that needs the finance. God will let you know where to give, where not to give. He'll let you know that. You say, Pastor, well, do you all give? Yes, we do. I've told many times. Because I don't hide or cover up nothing. And I'll be sharing with you again. Just as I'll let you know how much money we have, which is very little. But none of us are paid. None of us. In this ministry, the money that comes in here is used to help others and to take the ministry where God wants it to go. And what he wants it to do. All right. We're going to stop here. So let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father. Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for this word. Because, Father, without this word, we're lost. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one, Father, that went to the cross, gave his life, died so I could have life throughout eternity to spend it with him. Now, Father, we thank you for him, and then you sent us the Holy Spirit. Father, we know that it is he that guides us, gives us knowledge, shares the truth with us, and the power, your power, Father, to be used through each one of us to do the work you send us to do. Now, Father, Israel, we pray for peace for Israel. But more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land of Jesus. For your saints, wherever they are in the world, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit deals with them, keep them in health and keep them safe. And see to their needs. And Father, this land of ours, so evil, so much has come out of our government. Father, help us. Help all of your children to come together. We don't have to be together in one place, but to be together in spirit and in prayer. To remove from office those that are of our evil leadership in our government and our churches, and to replace them, those that are walking in righteousness, filled with the Spirit, to work with us, to bring this land to repentance, and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, Denny Fires and Dennis Lee, Nellie and Bobby Johnson, for Amy and her family, Tom and Jacob, Father, for my family, for James Taylor, Father, we all have family members walking in darkness. We ask you now, Father, that the Holy Spirit will go forth working with them to help to lead them out of darkness and to light, that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, so they can be forgiven, Father, and start their journey home, making heaven that home. Now, Father, be with us all. Touch my family, my wife, touch me with thy mighty power. Keep us all in health. Keep us safe. And keep us upon that pathway of righteousness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great evening. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good evening, all.